the hope that belongs to us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've just finished a revival meeting in a little church up by Watkinsville, finished out Friday night, and I told them when I was there, I said, when I come to preach, I just come for one thing, and that's to beat on the book and brag on Jesus. And the reason I come to beat on the book and brag on Jesus is because He is our hope. And so I want to direct your attention to two passages of Scripture in the New Testament. The first is found in 1 Peter chapter 3. And I want to begin reading in just a moment with verse 13. And then the very first verse of 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse number 13, and then back to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 1. Out of respect for God's high and holy and infallible word, if you're able, I'd like for you to stand for the reading of the Scripture. 1 Peter chapter number 3, beginning with verse number 13. Who is going to harm you if you're eager to do good? But even if you should suffer what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. Put but in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Go back to verse 15. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give a reason for the hope that you have. 1 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the command of God our Savior and of Christ Jesus, our hope. Dear God, open your word for our hearts today. And when we leave this place and walk out into the streets and highways of our lives, help us to go ready to give a reason for the hope that is within us. And may we always know that that hope is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, dear God, grant today that we might claim that hope and that we might preach that hope to the very ends of the earth. In the wonderful name of Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, we pray, amen, amen. You may be seated. If there's one thing that marks this post-Christian generation in which we live, it is hopelessness. It's marked on the face of the nations of the world. For we're afraid that some renegade dictator will get a hold of a nuclear bomb and drop it without any concern for the after effects of what it could have. And some of us, some leaders are saying it's a hopeless situation. It's one that has resonated throughout our own country today as we look at the economic situation. Many people who thought they had enough money to live on when they retired have recognized that they're running short, and I hear hopelessness on people's lips. I don't know about you, but I pulled into the gas station the other day, and what I used to do for $21 or $22 cost me $60, and I wanted to say, when will it ever end? And there are people that say, we live in hopelessness. Psychiatrists tell us that it's the greatest thing in the life of an individual. Almost every suicide note that people find, carries with it a note of hopelessness that says there was no hope. Billy Graham several years ago wrote a book, and he said that the greatest need of every human heart is hope. Many doctors say that as they treat things like cardiac surgery and other heart diseases, that the greatest thing they can give that person is hope. We live in a society that is sometimes hopeless. We live in a world which tells us that there are a lot of things that bring us hope. There are those that tell us that hope is found in financial security. There are those that tell us that hope is found in the kind of clothes you wear, the car you drive, or the house you live in. They want us to believe that hope can be found in the materialistic things of this world. But I'm here to announce something totally different today. For every believer, our hope is not in the materialism of this world. It is not in the banks of America. It is not in who will win or lose the election in just a few weeks. Our hope is in a person, and it is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul says that our hope is in Jesus. And we ought always to be ready to give a reason for the hope that we have of every man that asks Him, and do that in gentleness and love. We need to be able to say to the world, our hope is not residing in the things of this world, but our hope resides in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. So I say to you today, do you know King Jesus? Do you know who He really is? Have you stopped to consider what He is and who He is and what He has done in my life and in your life? Back of the baptistry in your church, there is on each side of the kneeling Christ at a Greek letter, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the first and the last. But let me tell you who Jesus is, just in case you don't know. He is the anointed Son of God. He is the atonement for our sins. He's the bridge between man and God. He's the bright and morning star. He's the cornerstone of the church, but He's the capstone of our faith. He is the defeater of the evil one, but He is the one who comes to help those that are hurting today. He is the eternal God. He is everlasting Father. Don't ever forget that He's the faithful witness of God, and He's the first fruits of them that sin. He is the good shepherd, but I am thankful that He's also the great high priest. He's the hope of the world and the help of the saved. Jesus, whom I know to be my hope, is Emmanuel, God with us. He is incarnate, God in us. He is the joy of my salvation, but He's the judge of all mankind. He is the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. He's the master of the universe, the mediator between God and man. He's the name above every name. He is the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent Son of the living God. He is the propitiation for our sins, and He's the pioneer of our faith. Don't ever forget who Jesus really is. He is the qualified sin offered, always the one that can provide for us a standing before God. He is the risen Lord, the ruler of the universe. Aren't you glad that you know Him today? He is the sovereign Lord and the sufficient Savior. He is the teacher who teaches the only truth that has ever been taught. He is the unique Son of God and the unequaled payment for my sin and your sin before God. He is the vicarious sin offering, but He's the victorious coming Lord. Do you know Him today? Oh, how important it is that we come to know Him as the victor over sin. He is the way to God. More than that, He is the very Word of God. He is the exalted One. The Old Testament calls Him Yahweh. But let me tell you something. He is the zenith of all our love and affection. That's who Jesus is. Do you know Him? It's in Him that we have hope. It is in Him that we have peace in the world in which we live. Oh, Jesus said, the world wants to give you one kind of peace, but I want to give you a different kind of peace. And that's why He can do it, because of who He is. Our hope is in Christ Jesus the Lord. I used to sing it as a kid. Many of you remember. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and His righteousness. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Jesus, our hope. And I want to borrow from a friend of mine. I'm not very original anyway. I told somebody the other day, if better sermons are ever written, I'll probably preach them. But I found five things from a preacher friend of mine the other day that I wanted to add to this sermon that I want to share with you today. Five simple reasons why Jesus is our hope. Write them down. Take them home with you. Live in the joy of them. First of all, Jesus is our hope because He is alive. He is alive. Listen to me. If you put your hope in any other leader of mankind, they lie smoldering in the grave. If you put your hope in any of the philosophies of man, there comes a time when they crumble. But we serve a risen Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Apostle Paul says, if Christ be not risen from the dead, then our hope is in vain. But thanks be to God, Christ Jesus is alive. He rose from the dead and became the first fruits of them that slept. I was in Jerusalem a few years ago, my wife and I on a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. We had done many things. We came on one of the last days to have the communion in the garden in front of the open tomb that I believe with all of my heart is the tomb in which they placed Christ. I'd heard it preached all of my life. I'd looked at it from the scriptural standpoint. But that day, sitting there with a group of friends from around the world, I looked at that rock that had been rolled away. And in my heart, I began to cry, oh God, He really is alive. He's not a dead Savior, but He's a living Lord. I tell you today that Christ Jesus is my hope and your hope because He is alive. But there is a second reason. Not only is He my Lord, and not only is He the hope of the world, but He is our hope because He is Lord. All through the Scriptures, He referred to as Lord. Somebody say, well, how do you know Jesus is Lord? I'm glad you asked, because I want to tell you. First of all, He's Lord because He said He was. They came to Him one day and discussing some things that were relevant to the day in which they live, and He said to them, you call Me Lord and Master, for so I am. But He did not only prove it because He had words. Words can be empty. But He gave it because He proved Himself to be Lord in every arena of our lives. He proved Himself to be Lord over nature. When the storms were raging, when it looked as if the waves were going to overcome a ship in which His disciples were sailing, He spoke and calmed the very nature forces that were rising out against you. I suggest that He is Lord over nature. I suggest to you that He is Lord over life. You remember how many times He raised someone from the dead. He stood with the brokenhearted sisters of Lazarus outside his grave, and he cried, "Lazarus, come forth!" And Lazarus came forth. He was Lord of life. But he wants to give you life. In John 10:10, Jesus said, "I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly." You've never experienced real life until you know Jesus. All the world says, find life in this drink. Find life in this experience. Live life to the ultimate by driving this vehicle. But I want to tell you, real life is found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is Lord of life. But not only is He Lord over nature, not only is the Lord of our life, but He's Lord over death. They took Him down from a cross. They carried Him to a borrowed tomb, and they placed Him in that borrowed tomb. And on that Easter morning, His disciples came looking for Him in that grave. But He had risen from the dead, and He conquered death, hell, and the grave. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? For it's conquered in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, He is Lord over all. Now, you may not admit Him as Lord of your life today, but the book of Philippians says there'll come a time in your life when you will. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He is Lord. Oh, don't you know Him today? This Jesus who loved you and died for you is living. And He is Lord. But there is a third reason. He is Lord, or He is my hope, because He is here with us now. He is here with us now. He did not leave us alone, but in the person of the Holy Spirit, He came back to live and guide and direct and help us. Did not leave us as orphans, but He's here to help us right now. Do you love John 14:15-16? John 14 begins like this, as Jesus gives encouragement to His disciples. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. But if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I'm going, you know, and the way you know." And Thomas, the one we call the doubter, said, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" Jesus answered and said, "I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And no man ever comes to the Father but by Me." But you go just a little further into that 14th chapter of John, and He says, "I'm going to be taken from you, but I'm going to send another Comforter." Now, in the Greek language, that doesn't mean another of a different kind. That Greek word means another of exactly the same kind. I'm going to send one who loves you like I loved you, who has the strength and power that I have. I'm going to send another one who is exactly like me. Now, the fulfillment of that came in a theological point of view on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit descended to stay in the life of the disciple. But He said He's going to abide with you always. Wherever you are, your Lord is with you. Yeah. All we need to see God high and holy and lifted up. He is Almighty God. But don't ever forget that He is with us in the nitty-gritty issues of life. When the bottom has fallen out of everything you have, the Holy Spirit is there to guide and direct your life. When you've lost that job, the Holy Spirit is there to give you the help that you need to be faithful to God in the midst of those troubled times. When God calls that spouse that you've loved with all of your heart home, and you feel the emptiness in your heart, there is one who sticketh closer than a brother, and the Holy Spirit is there with you regardless to the difficulties of life. How many widows have found, after their husband has stepped behind the curtain into the place that we call death, and they're all alone in the big house at night, and it seems if there's no one, and yet in the night they cry out, and God, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, comes to give them peace. Oh, He is my hope, because He is here now. Aren't you glad that He's here today? But it gets better. Not only He's not our hope simply because He's alive, not only because He is Lord, not only because He is here, but I submit to you that He is Lord because He is there. He is there. The Bible says that He ascended into heaven and He took a place at the right hand of God, there to make intercession for you and for me. Hallelujah. To make a plea for my sake and your sake. My friend from whom I borrowed these ideas tells a funny little story about a girl and her mama one afternoon walking out in the sunset of the afternoon, and they looked to the western sky, and the mother said, "Sweetheart, look at that beautiful sunset that God has painted for you and me." And the little girl looked and said, "Mama, it's beautiful. And just think, God painted it with His left hand." And she said, "Sweetheart, how do you know God painted it with His left hand?" And she said, "Because the Bible clearly says that Jesus is sitting on His right hand." Oh, listen to me, beloved. Listen to me. He sits at the right hand of God. You know what? The only time Jesus is pictured standing in the New Testament is at the martyrdom of Stephen. When Stephen is stoned and they look into heaven, and there is Jesus standing to welcome one of His children home. But everywhere else, He's seated at the right hand of God. And He's not there simply to rule over the universe. He says He's there to make intercession for you and you and you and you. You, He's there to make intercession for you and me. I don't know about you, but I need that kind of encouragement. I don't know about you, but I need that in my heart today. Listen to me, as I get older, I feel like how much I need encouragement. When I was pastor in Jackson, Michigan for 22 years, I made it my policy to write every member of our church a birthday note on their date. I didn't let the secretaries address it. I didn't let somebody else write the letter. I didn't type it. But I went to my study in the mornings, and the first thing I did was write those people, and I prayed for them one by one, and I prayed that God would bless them. I don't know how many times somebody's come to me and said, "Pastor, that note of encouragement was such a help to me. That note of encouragement moved my heart." Oh, how important encouragement is. But I'll tell you, I'm encouraged by something greater than that. And that is that seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven today, there is the Savior that loved me enough to die on the cross for me, and He's pleading my case with the Father. Can you not hear Him as He calls out your name? Hallelujah, hallelujah. He's calling out my name and your name. He is Lord. He is our hope. Because He is alive. Because He's Lord. He's our hope because He's here us. We're never alone. Here today, He's our hope because He's here with us. He's also our hope because He is there making intercession for you and for me. Do you know Him today? I submit to you one final reason why Jesus is our hope. And that is not only because He's alive, not only because He's Lord, not only because He is here, not only because He is there, but I submit to you that He is our hope because He is coming again. The Bible is filled with the promise that He is coming again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul speaking to those Christians that were struggling with life in the midst of difficulties, the likes of which you and I will never experience. And he said, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those that are asleep. I don't want you to believe that this life is all there is. I don't want you to struggle without any hope in the world. And then he talks about the grave. And then he comes down in that glorious place to say, the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a voice, with the shout of an archangel, and the trumpet of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise from the dead. And we who remain shall meet up and be caught up together to meet Him in the clouds. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. He's coming again. He is our hope. Let me make three observations about that. First of all, His coming is unexpected. Unexpectedly, He will come. We don't know, says the Gospel of Matthew, the hour and the time. We don't know when to expect Him to come. We can't set deadlines. You know what? I hear people today setting all kind of deadlines about when Jesus is coming. Well, I you know, when I was a young feller, I heard a preacher. There's an old guy. He had it all figured out. He had the second coming of the Lord drawn up on window shades. And he had all these charts, and he'd pull one down, get through with it, pull another one down. He had it all figured out. And he knew exactly when the Lord is coming back. When all of this has happened, then the Lord can come again. I never will forget. There's an old, long, tall Louisiana preacher by the name of Earl Gint. Got up to preach when he got through, and he looked at him and said, Brother, I admire your scholarship. You've done a good job. But just always remember, God don't have to run His train on your track. Listen to me. We can't set those kind of parameters on God. We can't set those kind of parameters on God. The Bible says He's coming. Are you ready for Him today? Are you ready? It may be today. It may not be today. But He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. But I'll tell you a second thing about Him. It's going to be a personal appearing. Jesus Himself, in the book of Acts, as He speaks to His distraught disciples right after He has given what we really call a part of the Great Commission, or sending us to Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Those disciples said, are told, this same Jesus, not another one, Jesus Himself is coming to call His children home. The one that loved you will pierce the eastern sky. With the voice of an archangel and the trumpet of God, He shall call His children home. He's coming personal. I believe in the personal, literal, absolute, imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there is a third reason, not a third statement about His second coming. Not only is it going to be unexpectedly, not only is it going to be personal, but He's coming victoriously. The book of Philippians said every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. He's coming to bring absolute, total, 100% victory. When the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and He will reign forever and forever. Oh, He's coming victoriously. I'm not here today to preach through the book of the Revelation, but you know, I've heard it preached to a man a living. How many times I've heard us just miss the message of Revelation. We miss it. We miss it. I'm telling you, folks, we miss it. We get hung up on the vials of wrath. We get hung up on the wrath of God. We get hung up on who the horsemen are and all of that. And we miss it. We just miss it. We just absolutely flat out miss it. We just miss it. We just don't get the truth of it. Listen to me, you go home and tell everybody you can that you found out the real message of Revelation this morning. And here it is. Listen close. When the devil has done all he can do, when he's thrown all of the bombs he can throw, when things get so bad that you'd pray that the mountains and rocks would fall upon you because things are so terrible, when things can get no worse and the devil's called out all of his stops, here's the message of Revelation. The Lord God omnipotent still reigns. The Lord God omnipotent reigns. That's the message of Revelation. When everything else is said and done, God, through His Son Jesus Christ, is still on the throne. And the victory belongs to Him. No wonder He is our hope. No wonder He is our hope. Because He's alive. Praise His name. He is Lord. Hallelujah. He is here with me. Praise His name. He is there making intercession for me. And He's coming again to usher in the kingdom of our Lord and God. We live in a world that has so much hopelessness. But let me tell you, dear brother, dear sister, it doesn't have to be hopeless for you if you know the One in whom we placed our hope. I grew up on a dairy farm in the mountains of North Georgia. We didn't get electricity till I was about 9 or 10 years old. Older than that before we got an inside bathroom. But finally they come through with an electric line and Daddy had it tied into the house. And some of y'all remember it was old light bulbs that swung down from the ceiling with a pull chain. You remember those? About a 50-watt light bulb make a yellow light. My mama's lamps were brighter than them light bulbs. But we had lights. My daddy was a preacher, pastored 4 quarter-time churches. Y'all don't know what quarter-time churches is. Quarter-time churches are so small that they can't have preaching every Sunday, so they have it once a month. And you got a preacher that goes to a different church every Sunday. That's what I grew up with in my life. And my daddy was pastor of 4 quarter-time churches. But he was devout in his faith, brother. There's one thing he didn't like his kids doing was reading comic books. He didn't believe in reading no comic books. And I loved them. I loved them. And I had a buddy that would sneak me some Dick Tracy comic. Anybody remember Dick Tracy? Oh, you remember Dick Tracy? He's the first guy that had a two-way radio on his arm. He'd get in all kind of trouble. The evil man would be just about to do him in. They'd get him down in the sewer in the big city, and they're fixing to pull a lever and let it flood him and kill him. And I'd be reading that thing, and I'd get so scared I wouldn't know what. I mean, literally, Dick Tracy's doomed. And I'd get so scared laying there in my bed at night reading that cotton picking comic book. I'd get so scared till finally I'd reach over there and read the last page. And then I'd go back and I could read it. Aha, Mr. Evil Man, your goose is cooked. You ain't gonna win. You ain't gonna win. You ain't gonna win. I done read the last page. Done read the last page. I want to tell you something, beloved people, this morning. I read the last page, and we win. Lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. He's alive. He's Lord. He's here. He's there. And He's coming again. Praise His holy name. Our hope, the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear God, thank You for the blessed privilege today of claiming the hope that belongs to us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.